Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. I thank you that you dwell among your people and you are with us now. So, Father, this is your message. Make it come alive for all of us. Let everyone hear your voice and not mine, and speak to each person as they need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever played the game Follow the Leader? It's a game that many kids love to play. And there's two very important things to consider in this game. The first is that you have to accept who the leader is. And the second is you have to be willing to follow the leader wherever they lead. Many of us played this game when we were growing up. And then we grew up and we started working, and then we realized that it really wasn't a game anymore because there was a leader in our jobs, someone who was in charge, and we had to decide whether we were going to commit to follow them. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes not so much, but we still have to make the choice to be committed to following the leader. There are advantages to following the leader in the workforce. Of course, you get a paycheck. Perhaps you'll get a raise or a good review. Maybe you'll get some extra vacation time. It's a way to support your family and all the blessings that you've been given. But following a leader isn't always the easiest way. It takes real courage and commitment to follow a leader, especially when you are not privy to the plans ahead. We can't always know all the details, and most of the time we just have to step out in faith. We have to put our fear behind us, take a deep breath, and just charge full steam ahead. President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And Timothy said that our God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power. But we're creatures of habit and comfort. But when we said yes to Jesus and we say yes to committing to a life that follows him, our comfort then rests in him, not the circumstances around us. In our gospel reading of Matthew today, we read about Jesus calling his first disciples. Jesus sees Peter and Andrew in the boat fishing and simply says, "Follow me." In the next verse, it says immediately they left their nets and followed him. Then we see James and John in the boat with their father, and Jesus calls them. The next verse says, immediately they left the boat, their father, and followed him. They left everything they had, their jobs, their families, their homes, their friends, their lives, everything, and they did it immediately. Immediately sounds like such a demanding word. Dictionary.com defines it as without lapse of time, without delay, instantly, at once. We want things immediate. We want our internet to load immediately, text and emails responded to immediately. Shopping, we could get two-hour pickup at Target, and groceries delivered the same day through Instacart. Our society caters to instant and immediate. It makes us require it of others. But what's the cost? In order to receive immediate results, we must sacrifice something. Is it time with loved ones? Is it money? Is it freedom? How about time with God? Our answers may all be different, but we all have to sacrifice something to achieve these kind of results. When we were first saved, things happened immediately. We were made new creations. We were sealed and marked as God's own. Our names were written in the book of life. Yet there's still things we're working through. Like, what's my purpose in life? Why am I not healed yet? Why is my relationship not further along with God? Or a good one we all ask, why don't I get it or understand all of the Bible? The bad news is I can't answer all of these questions, but the good news is God never expected everything to happen immediately. Jesus didn't expect it to happen immediately with his first 12. Notice I said his first 12, because we too are his disciples, and his expectations haven't changed with us either. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, their responsibility was saying yes to the call. Then Jesus took on the responsibility to teach them, mold them, pour into them, and prepare them for his purpose. This would have been impossible for them to do had they said no, or if they didn't spend every day together. The disciples jumped right in and fully committed their lives to him, even though they didn't know what that was going to look like for their lives. This is a really scary thought for all of us. Many of us don't like the unknown, but God is always in the unknown. Look back through the stories of the Old Testament. God was always in the unknown. God was with Abraham when he told him to leave his life behind and go to a foreign land. Abraham had no idea what that was going to look like for his life. God was with Noah when he built an ark and prepared for a flood with no rain in sight. Noah had no idea what his life was going to look like after the flood. And God was with Daniel when he was taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, and he had no idea what his life in captivity would look like. God was clearly in every aspect in their lives, especially in the unknown. They all spent time with God, and they were committed for life. Their lives demonstrated their commitment to God. Just like the disciples, they all chose to commit to a life that followed God. And it changed everything, but not just for them. It changed it for those around them and for future generations. The disciples got out of the boat to live a life with Jesus, because they wanted to be with him regardless of the sacrifice. It was that important to them. We can come up with a lot of good reasons on why we neglect our time with God, but ultimately we are sacrificing our time with God for something else. Our lives are busy, full of schedules, and full of so many things that demand our time and attention. Usually the first thing we start to neglect is our time with God. It's easy to skip prayer time or cut it a little short because we're short on time. We expect God to understand, after all, because he knows our hearts and thoughts, right? But it's not just about blurting out a prayer list or a list of requests. It's about spending time and getting to know our Savior. But you can't get to know someone if you don't commit to spending time with them. Jesus was extremely busy when he was on earth. John 21:25 tells us that he did so many things that even the whole world could not contain the books to write the works he did. Yet he made time to spend with his Father and his disciples. He never neglected our Father because he knew that was his strength, his lifeline, and his heart. And he didn't neglect time with his disciples either. He poured into them. He knew the time was short, and that they were the ones that would keep him alive on earth when he went to heaven. Okay, so let's fast forward to now, today. That statement still applies. Time is short. Our lives are just a vapor, and we are the ones who are now charged with keeping the gospel and Jesus alive on earth. The Holy Spirit and Jesus want to pour into us. They have a specific purpose for each one of us in his kingdom. They are not finished with us. God is still using us. As long as we have breath in our lungs, God will use us to the very last moment. But it's more than just saying yes to salvation. We can accept salvation and never live a life that shows we follow Jesus. We can say yes to salvation and be saved from the grip of hell, but if we choose not to live a life that follows him, then we're saying no to who he created us to be. We will never walk in our purpose, the one that God designed while we were still in our mother's womb. Our relationship with Christ goes so much deeper. Have you ever known someone who said they were a Christian and you were totally surprised by that because their lives showed no evidence of Jesus? Well, living a life with Jesus results in transformation. Living a life that follows Jesus goes beyond us and touches the world. It unites us with other believers and gives us the opportunity to share Jesus with the lost, just like the disciples did. But it's a lot easier and more effective to share Jesus when you know him deeply and intimately, and when others can recognize him in your life. His invitation to follow him is an invitation to do life with him. We are to become like him, think like him, talk like him, act like him, love like him. We will not remain the same if we spend time in his presence daily. But we can't expect God to work in us and through us if we don't commit to that relationship with him. Our lives can't be a true reflection of Christ if we don't know who he really is. We have to prioritize our lives so we can spend that quiet, intimate time with him. Being in his presence is such a sweet, vital gift. We can soak up his love and mercy and feel his face actually shine upon us. Aaron's blessing can actually come alive to us and we can feel it. It's not just words. It's something that we can actually feel by being in his presence. God could do so much for us in just a few minutes in his presence that we'll ever be able to accomplish on our own in our lifetime. Healing and freedom and restoration, they're just a few gifts that we can receive in his presence. Hearing him speak to us and revealing things is such a precious thing that he longs to share with us. I believe that God is much more talkative than we give him credit for. I believe he always has something to say to us, but we don't always stop to listen, or we refuse to devote our attention, our devoted and focused attention on him. Almost 14 years ago, I had an encounter with the Lord. And this lasted 3 hours. But don't get nervous, because this was very special circumstance. So don't think every time you go in there, he's going to have you trapped for 3 hours, because that's not how it works. But I want to share this experience with you to show you the power of time spent in his presence and how much he can do in just a short amount of time. The Lord had promised me something, and it looked like finally it was coming to pass, but abruptly it was taken away. The believers who had been praying and believing with me were just as shocked and confused as I was. None of us really knew how to handle this. It tested each one of our faith. And if I'm completely honest, I was angry, confused, grieving, and full of doubt. And it was from that place that I sought after the Lord. In that 3 hours, I received healing emotionally and physically. God revealed to me the reasons why these things had to happen the way they did at this particular time. He showed me how he felt about me and how he saw me. And in my pain and grief, he was right there with me and wrapped his arms around me in a way I could actually feel. It was such a powerful time that I was forever changed. I have never doubted since then how much my Father loves me, no matter what I do. And I know how he feels about me. I have never again doubted my worth. But it all happened because I laid at his feet and spent time in his presence. I called out to him right there in that place of anger and doubt, not from a good place, but from a really hard, painful place. But God is bigger than our anger, our disappointment, or our doubt. And when his child calls out to him, he will go anywhere to get to them. Look through the book of Psalms. How many times do the psalmists call upon God, even in their self-inflicted situations? And God still comes to help his children. And there have been other times, a lot shorter in time, when I've been in his presence. And I've come in confused and overwhelmed, not knowing what to do. And his presence immediately calmed my mind and drove out my confusion and gave me clarity. I was flooded with his peace, all because I spent time in his presence. He is so faithful to us, so faithful that we cannot even fathom with our own minds what his true faithfulness looks like. And we are totally incapable of being able to match his faithfulness, and he doesn't expect us to ever. His faithfulness covers us, and we can find rest and peace in it. He gives us the strength we need for each day. He provides all that we need, and he gives us a fresh start with new mercy every morning. Every day, he is faithful to give us these things, no matter what happened the day before, even if we neglected spending time with him. He is completely devoted and committed to you. He always has been. Now, it cost the disciples something to get up and follow Jesus. And it cost Jesus something even greater to be able to extend that invitation to us. He willingly offered salvation to us, knowing that we were not going to come in perfect condition. Some of us might have been at rock bottom when we met Jesus. We were not all neatly packaged with rows and ribbons and bows, but Jesus knew that. In fact, he expected that, and he didn't care. His arms are wide open to all of us. He dealt with pride, doubt, competition, and betrayal with his own disciples. And he still said, "Follow me." He knew what his own 12 would do to him before he even extended the invitation. And he still did. That is how much he loves us and wants to be with us. We are not challenges for him. We are his delight. The definition of delight from dictionary.com. See, I said we all want things immediately, right? That's why I went to dictionary.com. Is a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment, joy. The Greek definition is inner gladness or rejoicing. You bring your Savior pleasure, enjoyment, and joy. He rejoices over you. How many of you feel like you get rejoiced over every day? I don't. But my Father rejoices over me every time he looks at me. No matter where you are in your life, you are his joy. He wants you to come closer to him. Jesus and the Holy Spirit commit to teaching us, leading us, healing us, refining us all into the image that God created us to be. There is no expectation of immediate transformation. The expectation is a lifelong process, every day until we are in heaven. The expectation has always been a lifelong process for us. It's a partnership, and Jesus commits to doing it with us. In the reading from Isaiah today, we read that our Messiah, Jesus, took on the responsibility of our yokes of slavery. We are no longer slaves to sin, death, our flaws, and even our own past. Jesus took our burdens and oppression. He tells us in Matthew 12:28 to come to him and take up his yoke because it's light. He's telling us, I got this. Give it to me because I am willing and I am able to carry it all for you. I am committed to you. From the very beginning of time, he was committed to you and he loved you. So it's a new year, a new decade, some say a fresh start. What are you willing to commit to? Have you made New Year's resolutions? Are you keeping them? What about God? Are you committing to getting to know him deeper? Are you committed to spending time in his presence daily? We can't afford to sacrifice our time with him. It is crucial to our walk and our testimony. We have to prioritize and put him first. We cannot take it for granted. It's the foundation of our lives. We need him every hour, every minute of the day. In fact, our Creator designed us to need him. He made us with a desire to be deeply connected with him. In our call to worship today, we read out of Psalm 27. And David was saying that he will seek God and chase after living in the house of the Lord all the days of his lives. That his great desire was to be with God right where God was in his presence. And Isaiah says in 26:9 that his soul yearns for God in the night. His spirit earnestly seeks him. From the deepest parts within us, we long to be with our Creator in his presence. And he longs to be with us too. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God dwells in you?" He longs to have an intimate relationship with us, so much so that a part of him lives inside of us so that he can always be with us and we never have to be separated from each other. It's not a common relationship. It is precious. We have this relationship because we are his children. Not every person on earth has this relationship with the living God. It's reserved for those who accept the Son. Even though it's available to everyone, sadly, many will never ever accept this gift. So we must stay committed to walking in the power of His light, because the light of the world is in us, and we can bring that same power to the darkness and drive it away. We can point people to Christ. The lost can see Christ in us and through us and all over us when we walk with Him in His light. Jesus said Himself in John 14:12 that we would go into this world and do greater things than Him in His name. Greater things than Jesus Himself. Let that sink in your minds for a minute. So how are you using His power? Is your life showing the world that you are committed to Him? The disciples had no idea what they were getting into when they immediately followed Jesus. But they trusted Him to be there through it all. Their commitment changed the entire world. The church was established through these disciples. They brought Jesus to the Gentiles, to you and me, just like Isaiah prophesied. And the world has never been the same. They committed to doing life with Jesus, and we can too. Jesus is still with us every step of the way, even when we can't see it. He's never going to throw His hands up in the air and say, "Oh, there's nothing more I can do with this one." If we could just make the time to truly get to know our Savior, we would never look at ourselves the same. You are chosen, and you are wanted. God made His choice. He chose each one of you. He still calls us to do life with Him. The invitation is much deeper than we realize. God wants us to live life abundantly, but that's impossible if we don't accept the invitation to follow Him. Following Jesus opens the door to all the things He has for us. Not just the blessings, but for our purpose and our specific place in the kingdom. He has called you for a specific purpose. He created just you for that purpose. And only you can walk in it and fulfill it by committing to a life that puts God first and committing to the invitation to follow Jesus. So ask yourselves, have you come to a place where the world can't satisfy you? Do you long for something more? Can you hear Jesus whispering, "Follow me"? The more we turn our eyes to Jesus, the more we will desire Him. The world will have less of a hold on us and less of an attraction for us. He has so much in store for us. If we just say yes to the invitation and live a life that follows Him, imagine how you could change the world. Imagine if we all come together, how could we all change the world? The work isn't finished yet. It wasn't just for the first 12 disciples. There's so much more that we have to do, and time is short. Jesus gives us this invitation for life. It's being committed for life. So all we have to do is get out of the boat and follow Him. Amen.